It is Dukes and Bell. Coming up, we've got some dog conversation we're going to get to as they get ready for Tennessee this week. It's a big game. Frank Schwab's going to join us in about 15 minutes to talk NFL with us as well. But we have some baseball news, Mike, and actually it ties into what I want to tell you guys I had a chance to do. But first, we have officially lost him.
Yeah, Travis d'Arnaud signs a two-year deal with the Angels, going to rejoin Ron Washington, the skipper out there in Anaheim. And, you know, they had asked the Braves, I presume, to take a pay cut the way it was explained to us, if he was going to stick around, and he opted for a better deal. So heart and soul guy, backbone guy, clutch guy, you know, certainly clutch this year when we needed it, when the catcher position, you know, when he was behind the dish was just a great big zero. I love that guy. He, to me, he's the kind of glue guy that a championship team has to have. And so we wish him well. He's put a message out there. I retweeted it from his Instagram account where he says goodbye and thanks, Braves fans.
Yeah, man. So we have a plan there. Because I know we still have Sean Murphy under contract. We got a plan, right?
Betcha. The sub 200 hitting Sean Murphy. You betcha.
Okay.
Chadwick Trump. And there's also another kid. There's another kid in AAA also. They've got other dudes coming up from AA last year at the end. So they've got catchers technically in the pipeline.
Okay.
But I guess Trump's chance first. They also traded one of their I don't know how good he was. What do you call it? Was it Rule 5?
Rule 5
in Major League Baseball. They had a pitcher in A ball that they had to move because otherwise you're going to use it or lose it. So they traded him for another all fielding, no hitting a player from the Angels. So is it the A's, the Angels? It doesn't matter. Some American League team where somebody wasn't hitting is now on the Braves, and we traded a pitcher you've never seen before.
If you're going, why are we moving on from d'Arnaud? I just think this is a cost-cutting move, to be quite honest with you. We'll see. I told you guys, I think it's about $33, $35 million that they've saved based on the moves they've made up to this point. And my question is, where is that money going to go? Where are you focusing that money? Now, the offseason has just started, and you're going to see deals like this being done. You know, 1-2 year deals. Some players you're familiar with, some you're not. But the meat of the offseason really doesn't kick off until December, even into January, Mike, before we get to spring training, where some of the larger or bigger brand names in baseball will be having an opportunity to, you know, be inquired about. And I keep getting back to starting pitching. So if they're going to spend this money on whatever it is that they've saved so far on starting pitching, I'm all for it. But I don't know if that's going to happen. And that is the curious thing about this whole, you know, we're moving on from d'Arnaud. D'Arnaud was a solid player. I'm with Mike. I think he's one of the best clubhouse guys that they've had in a very long time.
So the move that came up earlier today, it is Jared Johnson, a right-handed pitcher. He was 23, and now he's going to the A's. And we pick up the slick fielding shortstop second baseman, Nick Allen, with a career average of .209 with 3 years in the bigs for the A's.
Well, they're just bringing in guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like I get it. You gotta, you know, get a guy off the roster. You're going to just let him walk away because he's got what is about time served, right, in the organization. And eventually they split.
It is.
Nick Allen.
Real quick. You don't sound excited about
well,
this.
Well, like, we're going to be, you just said, they're going to spend the money prioritizing on pitching.
That's what I hope.
A better platoon potentially for Kelnick. I'm of the opinion now that I'm just barking up the wrong tree. We're going to be stuck with RC, who can't hit either at shortstop. And that'll probably be, I guess, in the grand scheme of things, the least of their problems.
Yeah. I don't know where it is. We talked about it with the pecking order. Is it 3-4? I don't know. I don't think it's 1 or 2. I want you to go check out The Express. That's what the podcast is called. It's Dansby Swanson's podcast. Went on there, Mike, talked about our show and all the things that are going on with the radio station. It was really cool. We talked about life and a variety of things. Mm-hmm. Dansby does this. He doesn't do it during the season a whole lot, but now we're back in the off season, and we chopped it up. It's really fun, and go check it out. It's called The Express, at The Express, if you wanted to go see what it's all about on, you know, Spotify, wherever
How's
you get
Dansby
your podcast.
Doing, by the way?
Terrific. He's recovering from surgery. He had like a hernia thing at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Looks great. Feels good, and from all things that you know, I'm hearing he'll be ready for spring training, but he's in good spirits, and the podcast is really cool, man, so go check that out.
A couple of guys hit us up on the text line saying d'Arnaud was, again, glue guy. You know, again, when you lose guys like Freddie Freeman and you lose guys like d'Arnaud, again, I know it's apples to oranges, but there's just a leadership and a clutch gene that you're missing right now from this baseball team. It doesn't exist on this baseball team.
I would agree, and that's why I'm curious to see what they're going to bring in. And, you know, Sale, we talked about this. Sale's a dog. But we need some of that in our everyday guys.
Well, that's just it. Part of the reason the Braves only won one World Series is the toughest guys on the team only played every other day, every 5 days. Smoltz and Glavin and Maddox back in the day.
All right, man. It's Dukes and Bell. We got a lot to get to.
Coming up in 3 minutes.
What stands in the way of Georgia making the college football playoff? We're going to tell you about that and much more. Mike, let's talk some dogs. All right, I want you to hear what Kirby said after the game when asked about Carson Beck. And here's what I said to you guys on Monday. Stats don't look bad. It's not that he played terrible, but they also protected him and did not allow him to throw the ball down the field to challenge Ole Miss. And you're going to say, well, Ole Miss's offensive or defensive line was getting after him. Guys, that's not what this is about. And Kirby did not want to make this about Carson Beck. Listen.
I thought Carson played good, guys. I thought he played good. I mean, some of those penalties aren't on him, you know. Now, some are. He had a couple snafus, too, where he maybe didn't motion a guy or didn't shift somebody in as part of the adjustment, and he knows that. But we put a lot on him, and he's playing on the road with crowd noise. But he stands in that pocket and converted some third downs and made some really nice plays. And I thought he threw the ball away a couple times tonight. That was really good. So I'm not here to be critical of him.
And nor would I think that Kirby would. But, Mike, the reality is he didn't make enough of those plays. Your offense scored 10 points.
20 of 31 for 186 and an interception that was deflected. There were drop passes. We talked about it. You know, Dylan Bell, remember all the hype about Dylan Bell?
Oh, yeah.
There's just a lot of meh at the wide receiver position. So we spent the early part of the show, for guys who missed it, you can rewind on the Odyssey app, talking about where Beck is. It just seems like, you know, Kirby just got to keep loving this kid up. You know, I mean, all right. I mean, I understand it. You're not going to throw your – there's no reason for an SEC coach to throw his quarterback under the bus. Now, if you are the third-string safety who did something stupid after a loss, you can throw him under the bus. No one gives a crap, but you're not going to treat your quarterback like that. Sorry if people that are very sensitive can't follow how that works. As Jimmy Johnson said, I don't treat the long snapper the way I treat Troy Aikman or Michael Irvin, you know?
Nor should he.
It's the way the world works. But getting back to your point about Beck, I mean, he's got to be – the whole team has got to be better. Offensive line got pushed around. But this is what Kirby's talked to a lot of people. I told Steak about it. You know, he's talked about it on national interviews about the offensive line. It's just not where it needs to be right now.
And I would agree with that. Listen, they've been exposed a couple of different times this season, and this is why you need a difference maker at quarterback. Georgia fans, I'm asking you, do you have that right now? Are you willing to look Mike and I in the eye and go, we got a difference maker at quarterback? You can't. And because of that, that is to me what stands in the way of UGA making the college football playoff. Now, let's get to the playoffs, because tonight the committee gets together again. And by the way, they're going to squeeze this in between, for those who don't know.
Tonight's basketball?
Yes. There are two games down at State Farm Arena, as you have Duke taking on Kentucky. That's the late game. Ooh. All right. And then, you know, Michigan State is the early game against Kansas. Great college basketball down at State Farm tonight, by the way.
Cooper Flagg is the sensation. That's the phenom for Duke that everybody's going to be waiting to see.
He's the number one, projected to be the number one overall pick. But in between those two games, they're going to have the College Football Playoff Committee come on and say, here's what we're thinking tonight.
Is it going to be like that sub-commercial?
It looks like, yes, it probably will
hook
be.
Hook and ladder. And at number one, we're going to go with Oregon.
Everybody off the hype train.
I got to be honest. If I'm, you know me, I hate all these kind of like producer. I don't need to go to a commercial break. Just put the list on the internet and I can read it.
I'm fine.
I don't need to hear this. Well, you know, we're looking for game control and different metrics. But who cares?
But everybody wants to hear why they did what they did. And this gets us to Georgia.
They do what they do to get us to talk about it.
Okay, so then where is Georgia? Where do you think they are legitimately, and then where should they be?
I think it parrots what the AP top 10 in the coaches poll is. Coaches poll's got Georgia at 10. AP's got them at 11. I think they'll probably be right in there, too. I think they'll be right in that same spot.
Yeah. By the way, I think this is probably right. If you're saying, well, who's in front of them? Well, Ole Miss just beat them, so they're going to be in front of them. Alabama's going to be in front of them with the win over LSU. BYU's undefeated. They'll be in front of them. Tennessee only has one loss. They'll be in front of them. There's a reason why they're putting them there. This is not any bias. This is kind of just an unusual spot that we're not used to seeing Georgia being in. And, Mike, I'll be honest with you. Like, all my Georgia friends and family, like, this is a hard pill to swallow right now.
I know.
Because they're like, I mean, we should be higher. No, you're 7-2.
No, and I think that, and Danny Cannell was ranting about this on his Twitter page today, that, you know, if it's Georgia and it's Texas A&M both finishing with two losses, sorry, Boise State. Sorry, SMU. You're not in. Now, again, if everybody's got two losses, yes, the bigger conference and the strength of schedule will prevail. But it will be interesting when they start cutting bait on, for instance, if Notre Dame finishes, I think because of, you know, Notre Dame's history and the TV interest, they'll be in there. It'll suck and they'll get beat in the first round, but Notre Dame will make it. The BYU is the one that, you know, it's fun to watch and see these guys play. They're physical, By the way, the coach can't even find a hat that fits him.
He's got a big head.
I mean, you want to talk about a dude, man. Yeah. He looks like he could suit up right now.
Yeah.
But BYU is still undefeated, but the strength of schedule is going to be the killer for them.
This is what stands in the way of UGA making the college football playoff. Got to beat Tennessee this weekend. That's number one. And then don't get caught sleeping against Georgia Tech.
Right.
Like I think dog fans traditionally over the last 10 years have been like, okay.
By the way, BYU wins out their conference. They're in anyway. They're locked in as an automatic power.
Well, that's a Big 12.
Right.
They're a Big 12 champion. But I think, Mike, those two things have to be managed before we start talking about the rankings as far as are you 5, 6, 7, 8, where are you going to be? Right now, Georgia is on the outside looking in at the SEC championship game. That's where this is.
Right. You got Tennessee ahead of them, Texas A&M, Texas. I mean, you got all these schools ahead of them. This is, you know, based on the SEC standings and the conference record. So it's – now, the good news is for Georgia, you want to get a home game at Sanford Stadium?
It'd be cool.
You know? It'd be cool. Again, all this is unprecedented. We've never had this before in December. So that – I know that initially we were talking about two losses. I don't think much Georgia fans thought the two losses were going to be Ole Miss. I thought maybe you lose Bama, Texas. And either way – Georgia can still, like, the season's not over, guys. It can beat Tennessee, but absolutely. Tennessee's tougher than they've ever been on defense.
Yeah. And if Nico's playing up to his capability, he poses a threat. I mean, that's the quarterback, Io Maliala. That can poses a threat that I think Georgia, we've seen them have issues with, like, a Jalen Milroe. When Nico's running, and I don't know if he's going to be up to that, Mike. He got that head injury last week
right. And
left the game. We'll see if he's back.
It sounded like he's going to play. The thing that Danny Cannell was ranting about is, you know, it's going to, as I told you back in September, I still think you're going to get at least three, maybe four from the Big Ten and the SEC. That's 8 teams out of the 12.
No, I agree. But is one of those teams Georgia?
Well, don't lose. And Tech, by the way, is a scary proposition the way they're playing.
Frank Schwab's going to join us. Yahoo Sports Insider covers the NFL. We'll ask him about the Falcons. Falcons, by the way, what's the number now? Is it 2.5, you told me, on the road? Denver is
favorite. We're dogs. Yeah, we're dogs, man.
On the road. All right, we're going to get into that with Frank, as well as a lot of other stories that have happened around the National Football League. Stay there. We're going to be able to bounce back. I'm talking about offensively. Kirk Cousins was talking about it. We will let you hear that coming up at 5 o'clock here on the show. Stay tuned for that. Some guy talk on the way as well, but let's talk some NFL with Frank Schwab, guys. Yahoo Sports insider for the NFL and covers the league and does a great podcast as well. Frank, I want to ask you about the Falcons. Maybe sometimes Mike and I use the phrase we're too close to it, and we're talking about Falcon fans and the whatever fandom you have for your team. Sometimes you see things differently. How do you see this Falcon football team as an outsider looking in, and what do you think about them?
Just very inconsistent. It looks like the Falcons are just good enough to win a bad division, really. Like, I mean, you look back, some of the early season wins were, you know, people hate the word, but lucky. I mean, if, again, you know, Saquon Barkley catches that pass in Philly or whatever. You know, I mean, Younghoe Koo doesn't kick a career-long 59-yarder or whatever it was. They caught some breaks to have their record early on. And then, you know, I thought they were getting better. I thought it was going well. And then all of a sudden it was, you lose to the Saints? Really? The 7-in-a-row, you know, losing streak Saints? I just think they're fine. They're going to win the NFC South and probably not be any factor in the playoffs whatsoever. I mean, depending on the draw, I guess. But you look at the probable 6 or 7 NFC teams, and right now I'd probably say the Falcons are the weakest of the 7, depending on what you think of the Cardinals or something, maybe. So, yeah, I'm down on them, let's say, after that last loss.
Yeah, that's the thing, Frank. We, you know, and no one ever understands why a team comes out flat. You know, we had a 3-game win streak, then we lost that game to Seattle, which, you know, usually is, one year, you know, you get one of those games a year. But you're right, to lose to New Orleans the way we did after beating Tampa Bay and beating Dallas, we still haven't played 4 quarters together. Now, just to counter your argument, we did get hosed by the refs against the Chiefs, but, you know, as you said, the breaks, as Parcells says, your record is. We got to go 4 out of 6. To win 10 games. Do you think they can do it?
I think so. The schedule's weak. I mean, there's a lot of things within the schedule that aren't too impressive, let's say. So I think they're good enough to beat most bad teams. Probably not going to beat a ton of good teams. I mean, again, they're just kind of in the middle. They're probably going to win 10 games and not really be a 10-win quality team, just they play in a bad division. And that, you know, that... It's a little bit frustrating with them, honestly. I just think that they're one of those teams that I just expected more out of. When they won those games early, when they got kind of fortunate, I kind of thought, okay, well, you know, you're going to get better. You've already banked three wins that really were, you know, I mean, pretty fortunate. And they're going to get better, and they're going to improve, and they're going to be a good team by the end of the season. But I kind of give up that hope a little bit. But again, I mean, they're going to win the division, and there's nothing wrong with that. They're perfectly reasonable. They're just not a team that I can foresee winning three games in the playoffs and going to a Super Bowl.
All right, and I'm going to defend them because they are 4-1 in the division. You talked about it, but 6-2 in the conference so far, right, with the 6-4 record. I just feel like when they play good, they are a very dangerous team. And it's interesting to hear your perspective because I think a lot of people around the country probably look at this team and feel the same way. So let's go from Atlanta to a team that you probably feel really good about. Go ahead.
I do. No, I get what you mean. Like, look, if they do play their best, like there's still time left in this season. It's not unreasonable for you know, to think that they could possibly put this all together and get on a run. You look at the talent they have on the offensive side. Defense has played well at times. And I can see the upside. Like, right, like I say that now. I say that after week 10 that I don't think this team can make a playoff run. In 7 weeks, I might be saying something different. I might be saying, wow, it really has come together. They've really gotten rid of some of these inconsistency issues. They have beaten quality teams, but yeah, right now they gotta grow to get to that. Let's put it that way.
All right, I want to ask you about a team that I think you probably buy, and I think a lot of people do, and that's the Lions. Why are they so good? What's the deal? They're playing well. Yes, you got to get lucky. Your quarterback throws 5 interceptions, and you still win. But it's bigger than that with the Lions. What's going on there?
I think that it's just they're good in everything. They really are. Their defense doesn't get a lot of credit. We all gave up on them after Aiden Hutchinson's injury, but defense is still playing well. Special teams are awesome. Offense is just really, really good. And yeah, you don't want to throw 5 interceptions in any game. That's not really good for you. But for them to win that game said so much. It said to the rest of the NFL, look, we could play our D-minus game and be on the road against a pretty good Texans team, first place Texans team, and we're still going to win. What chance do you have? Yeah, you know, I mean, if you can't beat them when they're on that game, like, are you really going to beat them when, you know, when they're playing at Ford Field in January? There's a couple teams that could. Eagles are coming along. I think they're a team nobody's talking about. And a team like the 49ers has a talent. And, you know, I mean, there's a couple teams you can make an argument for. But mostly, I think this is just the Lions season. If they blow this, when is it ever going to change? When are you ever going to get to the Super Bowl? You don't get many chances like this in the NFL. The Chiefs are an anomaly, right, where they just keep going to Super Bowl every year. The Patriots before them. Usually you get one shot. Usually you get one shot to have that special season, to go to a Super Bowl. This is the Lions' shot right here.
Right.
They're going to have, I believe anyway, 2 home games to go to a Super Bowl. I think they're going to be the one seed and be right there on the doorstep. And they got the team for it. And I think the Lions win a Super Bowl this year. As crazy as that is to sound, look, I'm in my 40s. I've never been able to say that in my life with a straight face, right?
That's true. I mean, that's a team, again, one of those squads that's never been there, man, not even played in one. Frank Schwab is with us, guys, from Yahoo Sports Inside, again, and inside the NFL. He joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. So, Chiefs, you mentioned. Ravens, normally we'd say, okay, Ravens have got another MVP season for Lamar, but they're looking up at the Steelers. So who's going to play in the AFC Championship or just going to pencil in Kansas City?
And Kansas City, man, what a charmed life they're living. I mean, they should legitimately have 4 home losses by now. And somehow they've won all 4 of those
games.
We
had them on the ropes here in Atlanta.
Yeah, and the missed call was a big, big deal there. I don't know how the Chiefs keep doing this. It's incredible. I know it's not just luck because when you have Mahomes, when you have Reed, you know, I mean, you're going to win more close games than you should, but goodness, they're having a heck of a run in luck, getting fortunate in these late games. With the rest of the AFC, I think the Bills are really, really good, and they're going to run away with the AFC East, obviously. And then you have the Steelers are the surprise, as you kind of alluded to. Like, part of me keeps thinking the Ravens are going to win that division, but then I'm like, why? Why would I pencil the Ravens in to win that division? Our defense is kind of a mess.
It is.
Yeah, their offense is awesome, but the Steelers don't have a weakness. It's crazy. I didn't see this Russell Wilson thing coming. A lot of people are trying to like take victory laps now. I didn't hear a lot about them when, you know, it was September or even the off season. I thought everybody was kind of definitely not on board with Russell Wilson having a career revival, but he looks like the dude he was in Seattle when he went to 9 Pro Bowls in 10 years. So I don't really see there's much of a weakness with the Steelers. Great coach. I mean, Mike Tomlin's going to Hall of Fame someday. So yeah, the Steelers have been the surprise. The Ravens could outscore the Chiefs. I mean, that's still possible. You know, they've had their postseason issues, but this is a different team with Derrick Henry. The Buffalo Bills are really good. But we all talk about this every year, don't we? And then it just ends up being Patrick Mahomes in a Super Bowl. Right? They just right. have that magic when the calendar is January, man. They just have that magic that has been impossible for any team to knock off.
Let's talk about Denver before we let you go, because that's where we're headed this weekend. They are 500, yeah, right? They're 5-5. Sean Payton, I think he's done a fairly good job considering a rookie quarterback. You know, you look at the defensive statistics, they've been one of the better defenses. I think they got exposed against the Ravens, and then they came back, played the Chiefs tough. What do you think of the Broncos?
They're fine. I mean, they're a perfectly fine football team, really well coached. Sean Payton's a great coach. I think he's doing a great job, too. I mean, Bo Nix has really fit in, you know, well with what they want to do. He's had his bad games, but he's a rookie, sixth quarterback off the board in this draft. You can't expect perfection out of Bo Nix. So he has been better than Caleb Williams. Let's put it that way. He's playing pretty well. I didn't have any faith in this roster. I'm based in Colorado, so I hear a lot about the Broncos. And, you know, I looked at this roster. I was like, this is not a good roster. This is going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL, especially with Bo Nix kind of having a rough rookie season probably. But the one thing I kept saying was, Sean Payton, he's going to get more wins out of this team than he has any business getting. And that's what's happened so far. They should have won at Kansas City. And, yeah, I mean, this is the type of team, the Falcons, when you look on paper and you just, you know, you match up the rosters and what they are, this is the type of team the Falcons should handle, really, even on the road. But it ain't that easy because Sean Payton's got this team playing really well, really confident. And, yeah, it's going to be a tough game for the Falcons. The Broncos are going to give people fits this season, and I didn't see that coming necessarily, but, you know, Sean Payton, and he's not a miracle or anything to have him 5-5, but pretty good coaching job by him. And the Broncos really – look, that was a messy coaching search they had a year ago,
right?
But they ended up with the right guy. He's just a fantastic head coach.
And, Frank, before we cut you loose, you know, I get it. Falcons have not played a complete game yet, and there are some things that you said that we definitely agree with. But, you know, when we're clicking offensively, we can help part our defense. We can get on another team, make them play catch-up. Other teams we could play in the playoffs, Minnesota, maybe Washington. Do they scare you as far as, and you feel that we're even, or you feel they're better than us if it came to us playing them? We will see Washington later this season.
Yeah, really interesting two teams there, because the Vikings are kind of backsliding a little bit with Darnold, getting into turnover habits, but he could turn that back around. They got a really good coach, really good roster. So I think that Minnesota's, I don't know what to make of them yet as far as what they're going to be in January. Washington, I just think, is good because of the quarterback. The quarterback's just ridiculous. He's so good. But, yes, you do wonder if they're going to need, you know, go to the playoffs, get beat, then have an offseason where you kind of build up your roster a little bit. So scared of either team. They'd be good games. I think the one X factor there is just Jane Daniels is so good. But, yeah, I think the Falcons wouldn't. They would match up well with those teams. I think Brian Flores' defense for the Vikings would probably give them a little bit of an edge. But yeah, especially if it's going to be in Atlanta after they win the division, yeah, it would be two good matchups. Probably the two best matchups on paper the Falcons could get.
Always great to talk with you, Frank. Thanks so much, Frank Schraub. Guys, follow him. Check him out. Yahoo Sports covers the league. We'll talk soon.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Good stuff. If you're just joining us, Travis d'Arnaud, sending a big thank you to Braves Country. And Travis is going to be an Angel, Mike, as we were talking about
right. Some
of these baseball moves, guys, being made. We haven't really made any significant impactful moves quite yet, but we're losing guys. And, you know, when they made the decision to not pick up the option, we knew this was an opportunity for him to go somewhere else.
Right. Hey, man. Coming up in Guy Talk, Carl, we got into it at the end of the show. I want to share it for you in Guy Talk. Debo Samuel had a very busy Sunday in Tampa. He showed up like the Terminator, sort of, from the waist up. And then he was looking to terminate the kicker and the long snapper. That's coming up. Plus, The pace car wrecked? I'll explain. Where to play is play. We'll be up at Flowery Branch tomorrow, guys, talking to Coach Raheem Morris and a player guest, and we'll get his take on what happened down there. I mean, come on. And a couple of guys are ended up going, blank that Frank Schwab dude, man. Well, he's entitled to an opinion. Carl and I were just talking off the air, and that's why Carl asked him, what's your take? We're a little too close to it, outside 285. What do you think of the Falcons? He said, probably win the division, not go anywhere in the playoffs. That's his opinion.
Yeah, and look, we could sit here and argue back and forth because I feel like we have yet to play our best game, number one. Number two, when we are on our game, and we've seen flashes of that, we're dangerous. Like, this team can move the football, get in the end zone. Like, Bijan's rolling, Drake's doing his thing, Pitts is involved. Like, all of a sudden, it just changes. But we haven't seen the consistency of that. He's not lying about that, even though I still really like our team. Right. And here's the deal. These one-and-done situations, Mike was just telling me, he's like, all right, the playoffs started today, and they don't. We're playing Washington.
Washington comes here.
These one-and-done deals, I'm all for it. Guys, we had one clunker. Even Sunday's game, we should have won, but we've been in every game. We've not been embarrassed. We've not been blown out. Like, we're competitive. And the fact is, this is the NFL. You got to find ways to win games late, Mike. And that's what I think, you know, you see them lose a game like last week from afar, and you go, well, of course they were going to lose that game. Did you watch the game? Mm-hmm. Did you see how many opportunities we left out there and how many points were left off the board?
Right. And again, Younghoe Koo, we spent a lot of time talking about him yesterday, and I'm sure that, again, Coach Ra is defending him, but in a close game, you need your kicker to be reliable. He's been really leaky. We spent a lot of time yesterday. Kickers drive people crazy, like Deebo Samuel. If you missed the story yesterday, he comes in to Raymond James, and he was dressed for business. From the waist up, he looks like a black Terminator, Carl. He's got the shades on. He's got the leather jacket.
I'll be back.
Black T-shirt. I'm looking for Sal Connor. So I go on Twitter, and I say, he's looking for Sarah Connor and an Appletini, because he's wearing a skirt below it. Like, one of these things is not like the other. Now, we know from the NBA and NFL guys are into fashion forward. See Russell Westbrook. Some of these ideas, though, leave you a bit puzzled.
They do.
As I was. Anyway, Deebo, if you didn't see it, you know, we said guys get upset about kickers. Well, we all know that teammates get upset. They just generally don't do anything. Unless you're Deebo, where he starts mouthing off with the kicker and the long snapper. He wants a piece of Jake Moody. Tabor Pepper, great name for a long snapper.
It is.
He steps into it. Next thing you know, you got a bit of
Mr. Pepper.
You got a bit of a fracas. They call me Mr. Pepper.
Mr. Pepper.
So they start strapping, and eventually they cool it down. And then Kyle Shanahan was asked in the locker room. Eventually, Moody did get his ish together and hit the game-winning kick. We played the audio for you yesterday in Game Balls. But Shanahan, I like it. He goes, hey, man, we'll figure this out on the plane home. We'll get back to loving each other. Hey, 53 guys don't have to all be best buddies. But it was kind of funny to watch Deebo do what many of us have done over the years, wanting to kill a kicker.
Well, you know what? And here's the deal. Everybody acts like it's cool. 22 guys out there busting their tails to put you in position to do what you're supposed to do. Now, nobody's perfect. But if you do this time after time and you're in a slump, Mike,
right,
somebody needs to get in your face and tell you about it. Like, I'm just sorry. That's just what it is. I mean, you're costing us all of the goodwill that we're building and, you know, putting the ball in position to score, right, or win this football game. I have no issues with it.
Somebody talk to Younghoe?
Yeah.
Because anybody say anything?
When guys are hitting the sled, or not a lot of contact now that we're into midseason, you know, these guys, as I said, they're over there, look like they're smoking cigarettes, you know, hanging on the sideline.
Yeah, just, I was like, come on, man.
The kickers are off to the side.
Get your stuff together.
Hey, from our man Deebo Sandwich, a former Gamecock wide receiver, which Deebo was, Xavier Leggett has become one of the funniest follows on social media, because I looked it up, and I talked to a couple friends of mine. Technically, where he's from, Mullen, South Carolina, is not considered low country, South Kakalaka.
Okay.
But it is northeast South Carolina, and well, take a listen. His comments over the last few months have gone viral. Here he is over in Germany this weekend with the Carolina Panthers. Asked from a German interviewer as he sampled the German food.
I had some chicken wings. Do I need to cook it? Let me try. Okay. I like that one.
Do you have any food since you arrived?
I had some chicken wings. They had a little different taste to them. Like y'all use a different twang of barbecue stuff. But they right here, I like it right here.
This right here.
Offered him meat on a stick. Now, when I was over there last time, I know you spent time in Germany with your dad and your family when your dad was in the military, but I know that I've been in places where they will serve the meat on the skewers.
Yeah.
And you just go to town. And so that's what they were offering him. He's like, now I'm having that barbecue. I love this dude, man. He's a trip. And so needless to say, the Germans couldn't understand him either.
I like this right here, right there, right there. I like this right here. I got people down there in South Carolina, man.
I had a little different taste to them. Like y'all use a different twang of barbecue stuff.
No doubt. A little different twang. I like the fact, though, Mike, he's just he's having a good time. He's
right.
Fun. And, you know, when we get back to, like, the league, this is what the league is about. It's about characters, right? It's about guys who you either like or you follow because they like to have a good time. And this is what the league should be, man. I'm with you on this.
Right. Hey, man, unfortunately for Jack Del Rio, his time is done as an assistant in Wisconsin. He got nailed for suspicion of DUI, hit a street sign, broke a fence, and got popped. So he's stepping down from his time there. And again, everybody else, you know, they even for the coaches, they got an 800 number. You need a ride. They can come get you. That's something the Players Association, I'm not sure if it works. Either way, common sense. We've all been behind the wheel.
He's in college now, though.
Right. That's bad optics for that.
Yeah.
But you can't be behind the wheel. You guys know. And you know, make bad decisions. And he did. Now, speaking of a bad decision, I don't know what this was about. But the guy driving the pace car at the race in Phoenix on Sunday, the final race of the season, decides a little bit late, kind of like what I see every day when I drive home on 85, when somebody misses their exit and decides to go all the way from the left lane to the exit lane. You know, and we only, you know, then now you have a 6-hour tie up.
It's brutal.
The pace car just makes a hard left, and he doesn't have time to clear the barrels, which are guarding the cement wall, the retaining wall, which separates pit road from the track.
So he doesn't make it.
Pow! Anyway, and that created a red flag situation, so that was kind of a new one. We've seen Formula One have their pace car go, but that's when he's testing the track when it's wet, and he's going like 100 miles an hour.
That's different. It's different.
Kind of bad optics.
By the way, you're right about last night. I wasn't following you, but I had to make my way down to the Gateway Center for the Skyhawks game, and I will tell you, I don't know how you do it every day. I thought my drive is, it's a cakewalk compared to what you run in. First of all, getting on the highway, all right, off the just the, what's the exit down there that I'm thinking about? That you the merge where you merge?
Yeah.
Everybody down there? I'm like, dude, this is unbelievable.
Where 20 comes in, you're coming out of Midtown.
It's a death trap.
It's a suicide trap.
It really is. And so I'm in the car and I'm thinking to myself, this is your drive home every day?
Every day.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, you know, and then also, once you finally do clear the traffic, then it becomes the Fast and the Furious. Because, again, Fairburn, Georgia is the Dodge Charger and Challenger capital of Georgia. So everybody's running 500 horsepower.
Yeah.
And then it's on. Anyway, on that note, be safe out there, kids. Don't forget Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, Ale. Ask your guys if they don't have your package. Just tell them. Tell Georgia Crown to go get the beer.
Tell
and
Georgia
bring it.
Crown.
Tell those guys to get the beer, and they'll bring it to you from Oconee Brewing. Hey, man, Ale, man.
Coming up, Kirk Cousins talking about the offense. We'll also talk about the Broncos. Joel Corey's going to join us. He's CBS NFL capologist. He also was an agent at one point. I'm just going to kind of talk through this whole, all right, if the Falcons could have made a move, would they have been able to do anything based on the finances that are available? We'll also talk to him about some other deals around the league because, guys, we see these contracts continue to go up. Joel Corey is going to join us in about 25 minutes. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate.